I got my humor from Mike. I told Wolfgang last week I was song leading and asked him if he'd do the opening prayer, and he did, and I came up here ready to sit everyone down to song lead, and I'm not the song leader today. Whew. Anyhow, happy Sabbath to everybody. I'm going to go ahead and start my story, my sermonette today with a story. The setting is in Germany, the year between 1943 and 1945, in Bergen-Belsen, Germany. Bergen-Belsen was a civilization internment camp where prisoners were exchanged with enemy prisoners during towards the end of the Second World War. Wikipedia explains it here. In March 1944, part of the camp was redesignated as a recovery camp, where prisoners too sick to work were brought in from other concentration camps. They were in Belsen supposedly to recover and then return to their original camps and resume work. But many of them died in Belsen of disease, starvation, exhaustion, and lack of medical attention. The camp was liberated by the British Army in April 15th of 1945. There was a woman that was in the Auschwitz concentration camp, and she was moved to Bergen-Belsen. She had a husband and a three-year-old son. Her husband got shot in Auschwitz, never made it to Bergen-Belsen. And right before they moved her to the new location, they grabbed her son out of her hands, threw him into a truck, and all she saw, the last thing she saw, was her three-year-old son crying for his mommy. This woman's name was Luba Trzynska. She was in total despair after losing her husband and her three-year-old boy. And I watched a little documentary on it, and she was talking, and she said she just lost all hope. She had nothing to live for. And she was a nurse, and she was in the concentration camp with a lot of the other Jewish women that were in camp there also. Late one night, she heard the sounds of children screaming and crying. So she was really perplexed. She woke up from her sleep. She didn't know if she was dreaming or not. And she woke up and found that there were, in fact, children crying somewhere. So she followed the sound of the cries and found 54 Dutch children between the ages of 3 and 14 back behind the barracks where her barrack was. And what had happened was, out of Auschwitz, they had sent a lot of the prisoners to the gas chambers, but these children, I guess no one had the courage to assassinate them or kill them, so they just took him in a dump truck, took him out to this site behind this barracks, and just dumped him there and let him to die from starvation and the elements. This was in the middle of, I think it was in April, maybe it wasn't in the middle of winter, but it was a hard time there. Bergen-Belsen was located up in the Saxony area in the northern part of Germany. So when she heard these kids, she thought of her child, and she had hope. She brought these kids, all of them, back to her barracks. And there were a lot of the other Jewish women there, and she talked to them, and she had convinced them to go ahead and care for these kids. And what they did was they kept the kids working with little chores and things so they wouldn't be suspect, and you know, they didn't want to be hearing them crying and stuff. So Luba's job became feeding and caring for these kids. She was the one, she was very good looking, so she sort of had a way with some of these German guards and prison guards and things. But one night, she was in the kitchen, and she would sneak out bread and water every day. Each child got one piece of bread and enough water to survive. That was their daily ration. One night, a German guard caught her and right off the tip of her tongue, she told this German, she could have been taken out and killed and shot right then and there. But she told this German guard, she asked him a question, just like Jesus when he was confronted a lot of times. He asked questions. And the question she asked this German guard was, do you not have grandchildren? And if you saw your grandchildren starving, wouldn't you feed them? So he let her take the food, and he sort of just every day, every night that she came and brought food, he just sort of looked the other way and let her feed these kids. Well, all of the kids made it out of Bergen-Belsen except for two. They had died there. And Luba went on. She moved to Sweden. And most of these, all of these children actually were of Dutch heritage. And they all went back to Denmark, their origin, where they lived. 50 years later, on the Passover in Amsterdam, April 15th, 50 years later, this was back in 1995, 33 of the 54 children surprised her at this synagogue where they had this Passover service. She also remarried when she was in Sweden to her second husband, and he was also in the concentration camp. He escaped, and they now preside in Miami. And they ended up having two kids of their own, a little boy and a little girl. So the reason I bring that story up is for just one purpose. We know in the near future, we don't know how near, but we know we're seeing prophecy unfilled, being fulfilled. And we're going to have to come to a point in our lives, if we don't make it into the place of safety, which a lot of people talk about the place of safety, but really that shouldn't be our main goal. Our goal is the kingdom of God here on earth reigning with Christ. If we're fortunate enough and we make it to the place of safety, that's great. But we have to be prepared to be in a place like Luba. And when we, let's say we go to a place like Luba, are we going to feel sorry for ourselves, or are we going to have that faith in Christ? Are we going to help others? Are we going to put our life on the line? What are we going to do when we're actually in that predicament? I'd like to go ahead and have us turn to, in our Bible, to John 15, 13. This is in the New King James Version, John 15, 13. I'll go ahead and read it. It says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. And I think that translation probably in friend means brother or others rather than yourself. And then you don't have to turn there. I'll go ahead and read 1 John 3:16, where it says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, meaning Jesus Christ. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So brethren, are we really ready to lower our standards of living? Are we ready to give up the clean water we drink, the good food we eat, the nice house that shelters us? Mr. Armstrong I remember even before I came into the church, I'd listen to my knew is right, but I wasn't quite ready to be right yet. But he would always say, be prepared to lower your standard of living. Just rings out like a megaphone in my head. It still does to this day. Are we willing to stand up for Christ and what we believe in the most of difficult times? Then in the Bible again, in Revelation 3:21, you don't have to turn there, I'll read that. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Right here, we're called to be overcomers. We need to finish that race. Some of us, I know, didn't really start getting into the Olympics, and you know, they had all that woke stuff going on, and I thought, you know, I want to, some of these athletes are really talented. So I started watching it, and You know, it was just amazing how much time and dedication that a lot of them spent and the hardships they endured to get where they did and to gain that prize. We have a much greater prize, eternal life. How serious are we in that commitment? In Revelation 5:10, I'll read, this breaks into the thought, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. So the question I have for you, brethren, today is, will we respond like Luba Tranziska, who is also called the Angel of Belsen? Will we have faith, real true faith, when Christ returns?